There was the trunk of a large mayope 4 meters ahead, its roots sloping up out of the soil. Light from the fires fluoresced the bark to a lurid topaz. The list of sheriffs streamed into her mind, facts, figures, and profiles, most importantly the holograms. Mirages of 70 men shimmered over the vapid, low-light image of Ozark. Laurie reached the mayope trunk and looked out over the lines of seedy cabins, trying to match the visual patterns in her mind with what she could see. "There's one," Darcy said. His mind indicated one of the men squatting in a circle of people around a fire. Some kind of animal carcass was roasting above the flames. "And another," Laurie indicated. They swiftly located a further 12 sheriffs at various fires. "None of them look particularly concerned that their communications with Candace Elford have been cut off," she said. "Have they been sequestrated?" Kelvin Solanke asked. "There's no way of knowing for sure, but my best guess is yes," Darcy said. "Given their current situation, their behavior is abnormal. They should at least have posted a perimeter guard." The biotech processor in Laurie's backup communication block reported a power loss in the unit's electron matrix crystal. She automatically ordered the reserve crystal to be brought online. The thought was virtually subconscious. "I concur," Laurie said. "I think our original primary goal of verifying Latin's presence is irrelevant in these circumstances." "Seconded. We'll attempt to seize one of these people and bring them back to Durringham for examination." The mimetic governor secretary on Darcy's chameleon suit indicated a data bus glitch in his right leg. Alternative channels were brought online by the master processor. "Our best bet will be that cabin there. It's reasonably isolated, and I saw someone go in just now." Laurie evinced a 5-room building, standing apart from the others. It was 120 meters from the edge of the jungle, but the intervening ground was mostly allotments, providing as much cover as the trees. She took an image enhancer out of a pouch on her waist and brought it up to her eyes. "Bloody thing's broken. Try yours. We need to know how many people are inside." Darcy's chemical stroke biological agent detector shut down. "It hasn't broken," he said in consternation. "We're in some kind of electronic warfare field." "Damn it!" Laurie's backup communicator and target laser acquisition warning sensors dropped out. "Kelvin, did you hear that? They're using highly sophisticated electronic warfare systems." "Your signal strength is fading," Kelvin said. Darcy felt his affinity link with his Maser carbine's controlling processor vanish. When he looked at the gun, its LDC display panel was dead. "Come on, move it. Back to the Coogan." "Darcy!" He twisted round to see 5 people standing in a semicircle right behind them. 1 woman, 4 men. All of them with strange, placid smiles, dressed like settlers in denim trousers and cotton shirts, the men with thick beards. Even with shock paralyzing his nerves, he retained enough presence of mind to glance at his own arm. Infrared showed him a faint pink outline, but low light simply revealed long blades of grass. The chameleon circuitry was still functional. "Shit! Kelvin, they can see the chameleon suits. Warn your people. Kelvin!" The hardware units he wore round his waist were all failing in rapid succession, affinity filling his mind with processor caution warnings. They started to wink out. There was no reply from Kelvin Solanke. "You must be the pair Latin called," one of the men said. He looked from Laurie to Darcy. "You can get up now." The power supply to Laurie's chameleon suit ebbed to nothing, and the fabric reverted to its natural dull grey. She rolled to one side and stood in one smooth motion. Implant glands were feeding a gusty brew of hormones into her blood supply, hyping her muscles. She dropped both her Maser carbine and the image enhancer, freeing her hands. 5 wouldn't be a problem. "Where do you come from?" she asked. "I'm talking to you that's in charge of them. Is your origin in your memory?" "You're an atheist," the woman replied. "It would be kinder to spare you the answer." "Take them out," Darcy said. Laurie stepped forwards, turning, arms and legs moving fast. left ankle swinging into the man's kneecap with her full body weight behind it, satisfying crackle of breaking bone, right hand chopping the woman's larynx, slamming her Adam's apple into her vertebrae.